All right, so good evening to you, and hope you can stay with us. We've got Deep State, Interpol, and Murder by Death. So, who would want to leave now, right? That
sounds like a dark and dramatic episode.
Doesn't that sound fascinating? Yeah, well, yeah. Of course it is the guest list, and we are returning from our holiday break. This is the first time we've been back together in the new year, so welcome everyone.
Thanks. Good to be back.
Nice to see your smiling faces.
It's fantastic, mm-hmm. And we've just got an incredible slate of concerts to get to, but before we do that, let's just go around the room and check in with everyone as far as their holidays and what old Santa brought to each person. What about you, Amber? What was your favorite gift from Santa?
From Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Saint Nicholas.
That's right.
Papa Noel. Papa Noel.
Yes.
Are we quoting the Santa Claus now?
Of course.
Because I could do this.
Yes.
I know the whole movie. But my favorite gift was Cole got me a picture of a blown up picture of my dog. That we had just gotten a couple weeks before, so I don't know how he managed it.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It was really sweet. His name is Remy. You guys should meet him.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got to meet your puppy and Gabe's baby, who's now a year old. And I'm sure, Chris, you and I have some special friends we can bring.
Sure.
Special friends.
I'll try to find some.
What about you, Molly? What did Santa Claus bring you?
Well, I got a bunch of kitchen gadgets, which I was really excited about. But the best gift I got was... Patti Smith put out a new version, illustrated version of her book, Just Kids, with a whole bunch of original photographs, and it's beautifully bound, and my sister got that for me. So
that's so sweet.
That was a great gift.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that sounds cool. What about you, Gabe?
Yeah, well, like you mentioned, I have a one-year-old, or like Molly mentioned, I have a one-year-old baby at home, so most of the gifts were for him this year, toys and stuff like that. A lot of toys that make noise and light up.
Oh, great.
And I'm already regretting a lot of those. Yeah. I got a few things. I got some books. I got the book Revolution in the Head, which is a Beatles book. I recently got the 50th anniversary White Album reissue, and so I wanted to read about the music.
Sure, yeah.
So it goes song by song. It's pretty neat about all the history behind the recordings and stuff like that.
Oh, that sounds fascinating. I like that. Yeah, I thought you were going to say you got a 24-hour baby monitor.
Yeah.
That's what you really need, right?
24-hour babysitter.
Yeah, right?
Grandma.
Yeah, we'll be sure to put this in the old archives and play it back for Ezra later when he's like 14 and full of angst.
When he's taking over Flagpole magazine.
Yeah, he'll be like, okay, my dad once said.
I don't know why
he's got a British accent.
You never know.
He might have.
We're going to immerse him in that just because I would like that to happen.
It's like a Madonna situation.
Yeah.
Where he sometimes has one and doesn't.
Yeah. Right.
Madonna do that? Isn't that her?
Yeah.
Weird. Maybe he'll turn out more like Moira Rose. From my new favorite television show, I can't say the name on radio because FCC will probably come down on me.
Is that true?
Well, it's SCH, but it's, I'll call it Shirts Creek.
The old creek. They said that on Morning Edition recently.
I think they've said it because, you can say it.
They just spelled it out after they said it.
If you do it on television, you have to actually show the title.
Yes.
We don't have that ability because we're audio only. Anyway.
That's true.
The accent that Catherine O'Hara affects in that television show is gold.
She's
weird.
A good one.
She's fantastic.
What about you, Shoop? You get anything good?
Yeah.
Just peace and love. That's always my favorite.
Family forgot you, huh?
I thought you were going to say pain and misery. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, pain and misery.
Welcome back.
Well, speaking of pain and misery, here we are on the guest list. So let's get to that first. No, I'm just kidding.
Are you?
Well, sort of.
Good transition.
Yeah, let's do talk about Deep State. That's the first show we've got here on the old calendar. Coming up Saturday, February 2nd at Flickr. Tell me a little bit about Deep State.
Well, Deep State is an Athens band that's gearing up to release their third full-length album, which is called The Path to Fast Oblivion, which is a great album title. And Deep State, of course, a lot of talk in the news about the Deep State these days. And it's funny to me because these guys named their band well before this was all a thing.
I was about to ask.
they're sort of, I don't know if they're benefiting from that. Are people Googling Deep State and then
100%. Because I Googled deep state, and not only did the band come up, but a lot of things about our president came right. up. So,
so kind of funny that they tapped into that unknowingly. But they're set to release their third album. So they're an Athens band that's just sort of one of the hardest working local bands. They just tour all the time. You know, they record and release music pretty frequently, play a lot of shows locally. They're kind of that band that you would expect to see like at Athfest or like a festival slot playing like the 1:30 a.m. Like they'll just like play. They're kind of a late night, fun, sloppy kind of punk band. Really fun to watch live. This new record, Path to Fast Oblivion, is a little bit different for them. They've kind of expanded their sound a bit. Whereas before it was all very driving, hooky kind of pop punk songs, they've incorporated some new influences and some new sounds. They've sort of slowed down a little bit on some of these songs and expanded into some more like almost doo-wop-y kind of vibes at points. It's a really neat record. I've just started digging into it, but I have a feeling it's going to be one of the hot local albums of the year.
Hot.
And these guys are sort of poised, I would say, to break onto the national scene. They've toured a lot, like I said, play a lot of festivals. And I feel like this might be it for them. This could be what sort of vaults them into the next level. So that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah. It says on the website that they have a lot of guest appearances from family and friends. So are we going to see like some other local bands on this album and like features, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, they're sort of like one of those bands that's just like tapped into the scene. They just have they play in other bands as well, and they just have this great network of local musicians. So everybody, I feel like, was eager to probably guest on the new Deep State record.
Nice.
I'm not sure who all is exactly on this record or the song we're gonna hear, but the driving force behind the group is songwriter Taylor Schmora, and he's just sort of like the songwriter and the singer, and he it's sort of his vision, but there's definitely a community involved, and it shows on the record.
All right, well, you mentioned the song. This is what are we going to hear coming up off of the Path to Fast Oblivion?
Yeah, this is one of the early singles from the album, and it is a song that sort of showcases this new shift in direction for them, and it's called Sun, S-O-N.
And it's on the guest list.
Time.
All right, so that was Sun from the album The Path to Fast Oblivion. That was Deep State, scheduled to play Flicker Theater on Saturday, February 2nd. And, yeah, I like that sound.
Yeah, it's instantly sort of hooks you in with the melody and the start bobbing your head to that beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's nice. That's good. All right, let's move on to Interpol, if we can, without getting into trouble. they're going to be playing the 40 Watt along with Sunflower Bean, and that's going to be on Tuesday, February the 12th, so fast forwarding a bit. Tell me a little bit about Interpol.
Yeah, well, I had kind of forgotten about Interpol, and I didn't realize they had a new album until I saw that the show was coming, and I started doing some research, but I will never forget the first time that I ever heard them. I was in college, and I was hanging out with some friends, and one in particular who was infinitely cooler than I am, and probably still is, but he's from New York, so I feel like those kids are automatically, like, top-notch. But we were listening to, like, La Tigra and some real old Sonic Youth, and then he just threw on Interpol. And I was like, whoa, what is this? And also kind of, like, fascinated in the way that I would imagine when you see an exotic reptile in an aquarium. You're kind of like, what's happening? What's going to happen next? And I still feel that way about Interpol. And I think after I tell you a little bit about the song we're going to play, that's justified. But they're a three-piece band from New York. They're singer, bassist Paul Banks, guitarist Daniel Kessler, and drummer Sam Fogarino. And if you asked me how I thought their sound had sort of changed over the years, I would liken it to a barrel-aged cocktail, I think.
Oh, like, wow. Listen to that.
The ingredients, mm-hmm. the main ingredients are still distinguishable, but they've melded together in a way, and they're still potent, but they're...
A little bit of an oaky note in there, perhaps.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. And the band worked with Dave Fridman on this most recent album called Marauder. It came out right at the end of the year, and he's built a reputation for producing bands like Flaming Lips. I think he did a lot with them, and Sparkle Horse and Sleater-Kinney. So if you know those bands, you'll know Fridman's sound, and you'll hear that in this album. But I picked this song called Mountain Child. According to Paul Banks, it's about a seductive, charismatic cult leader who falls in love with this girl who's a social outcast who happens to love nature and prefers the wild to human company.
Of course she does.
Yeah. You know, like any good loner.
Yeah.
And he decides he's going to accompany her on a walk in the woods. But as the song goes on, he gets bitten by a venomous snake. And as the song continues from that point, his consciousness breaks down as the toxin invades his senses.
Whoa.
So this guy either has like some fever dreams after he does
good
songwriting,
wow.
or a very active imagination.
Mm, wow. Or maybe this actually happened to him.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, it said they are currently touring in Australia, so maybe he just... You know, they've got deadly creatures there, or they've been touring in Australia, and they've got deadly creatures there. So maybe he was just paranoid that he was going to get bit by, like, a tarantula or something.
Maybe.
And just fell asleep. I don't know.
Maybe.
Wow. Well, after that description, I had a hankering for a scotch. But now it's more like a doctor. I don't know. I can...
Interpol will do that to you.
Man, I'm telling you.
We'll take you to the hospital.
Let's go ahead and give a listen. This is Mountain Child from the album Marauder. Here's Interpol on the guest list.
Mountain Child, you're up in the trees like a heathen, running wild. Scrape on your knees from the descent right of your head.
All right, so that was Mountain Child from Interpol, scheduled to perform the 40 Watt on Tuesday, February 12th. And yeah, an interesting little jaunt through the mountains there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting.
I'm not following Paul Banks into the woods anytime soon.
I don't think so. Not without a snake kit and a good scotch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Interpol was a band that I was also very into in college days.
Yeah.
That first album is great. Still great.
Yeah.
And I haven't kept up with them over the last couple albums, but it's exciting that they're playing the 40 Watt. That'll be a very fun environment to see them in.
Yeah, I think so. Smaller than I would think, but
yeah.
But
yeah.
That sound will fill the space for
definitely.
Sure.
I believe Sam Fogarino, the drummer, is an Athens resident. I think he lives here. And has some 40 Watt connections, so maybe that's why they're doing it there.
Okay.
But it'll be cool.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, speaking of the fabulous 40 Watt, how about this show that's getting lots of attention? Drive-By Truckers coming back on Wednesday, February 13th. Tell me what we can expect out of this show.
Yeah, so the Truckers, of course, an Athens institution at this point, playing their annual batch of homecoming shows at the 40 Watt on that weekend. And this year is a little bit special. They, in addition to the regular Truckers performances, they are going to play a reunion show as Adam's House Cat, which was pre-Drive-By Truckers band featuring Patterson Hood, Mike Cooley, and a couple of dudes who are not in the Truckers. So it's Patterson and Cooley's first band, basically, after they met each other in Alabama as youngsters. So Adam's House Cat never released an album while they were active. They were only active for a couple years in the early 90s. But they recorded the bulk of an album, and then for whatever reason, it never saw the light of day. So now they've gone back and finished the record, the Adam's House Cat record, and they've gotten the band back together, and they're going to be playing their first show in however many years, 25 years or something like that, at the homecoming show Wednesday at the 40 Watt. So this will be very, very cool to see. They've released, they're releasing this Adam's House Cat record, and they've put out a couple early singles, including the one we're going to hear, which is called Runaway Train, not to be confused with the Soul Asylum song of the same name, which came out around the same time. But it's a very, you'll hear a little bit of the Truckers in this sound. It's a little bit more loose and kind of punk influenced almost. I think they were really into the Replacements at the time, so it has a lot of that vibe going. You'll hear the sort of jangly kind of alt-rock influence, whereas the Truckers sort of went in a more sort of
country,
southern rock country direction.
Yeah.
So it's neat to hear this early material from them.
If it helps, he said he wrote the song when his parents were going through a divorce, so it's punk angsty.
It's a little angsty.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there are some Trucker songs that they wrote during the Adam's House Cat days, Lookout Mountain being the most famous one probably, and I believe that is on the House Cat, Adam's House Cat record. But again, just neat to see the evolution of their sound dating back to this early stuff, and it'll be fun to see these guys play, a show with their old bandmates, and I'm sure they'll be having a blast, as they always are, on stage at the 40 Watt.
Yeah, I'm surprised just the one show, though. Like, usually don't they do multiple?
Well, the Truckers are playing multiple nights.
Oh, yeah, they are? Okay.
Adam's House Cat, I believe, is only the first night.
Okay.
But yeah, so multiple chances to see these guys, so to see the Truckers. And it's all, homecoming's always a big deal for both for local folks, but people come in from all over the country for these shows, so the Truckers fan base will make itself known that weekend, Valentine's Day weekend.
Now, Patterson Hood's still in Seattle. Is that where he is?
Portland, I believe.
That's
yeah.
Right.
So I mean, he's in Athens a lot and still has very close ties. So,
well, just beware. Public service announcement: if you are at the Truckers show and you see someone, see a tall, fairly large gentleman in overalls, you might just relocate. Because when I went to see them the first year that I moved here,
that could be any number of truckers.
Yeah,
it could be.
Wow.
But the guy was like, "Hey, just so you know, by the end of the show, I'm probably going to be naked." And he made true on his
promise. At least he gave you a heads up.
Goodness.
It's true. So if you want a more, maybe say like PG-13 rated version of the Truckers, you might just like keep your eyes and ears open for overall fans.
Interesting decision.
Was it you? Were you at the show in overall?
She's looking at me. Why would she do that?
I mean, you're not a large.
First of all,
you're not a large man.
Do I look like a large man?
You're not at all.
That would wear overalls.
I could see you in some overalls.
I could see
you
in overalls. Yeah. That was what got me was the overalls
goodness.
Thing.
Goodness.
It was him, dude.
Wow.
Shoop.
Man, I'm telling you.
I'm just kidding.
I'm just sitting over here trying not to remember that experience.
I'm trying to imagine.
Now you've implanted it in all of our brains. So we
you're welcome.
Visual.
My Christmas gift to you.
I'm trying to imagine what sort of drive-by trucker song would make someone want to do that.
No, it was all of them. It was the collective catalog visit that inspired
the
nudity.
For each reference to an Alabama highway or something like that.
Yeah, well, I think for every tall boy of PBR.
I mean, who are we to judge what incites a person to become naked? You know, like.
Amber's naked right now.
Yeah, totally.
Wow.
I wasn't going to say anything, but.
Oh, my goodness. Well. This is sort of a runaway train in itself. Here's Runaway Train from Adam's House Cat on the guest list.
Me and my baby's on a runaway train, on a runaway train, on a runaway train.
All right, so that was Runaway Train from the album Town Burned Down from Adam's House Cat, otherwise known as Drive-By Truckers, on the guest list. And they'll be performing the 40 Watt. That's Wednesday, February 13th. Yeah, that was surprisingly enough, no one took off all their clothes while we listened to that, though.
I had felt the urge, and I suppressed it.
We just decided not to do that. Probably best.
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me? It got a little hot in here, okay?
All right. Moving right along to one of my favorite band names. Got to be in the top five. Car Seat Headrest.
Yeah. It's one of those open the dictionary, find.
Is that what you think they did, huh?
No, no. I have a story about
We're going to get to that in just a minute. But first, they'll be playing the Georgia Theater on Wednesday, February 20th. So you got a story, huh? I want to hear this. Car Seat Headrest.
So Will Toledo is the front man for Car Seat Headrest. And the band started really as his solo project. And he was a high school kid, started writing and recording music in the backseat of his family's car because the house, I guess, was not acoustically optimal, or he just wanted more privacy. So he'd just like drive his car around and park it and record. And so he's probably spent a lot of time looking at the car seat headrest.
How about that?
And that's what he decided to name his project. And he's just started recording songs and uploading them to Bandcamp. And by the time he turned 22, he had put out 11 albums that way. No representation, no record contract, nothing. He did end up signing with Matador in 2015, but his most recent release, Twin Fantasy, is a rewrite of an album that he did in 2011 with the same name. And it gives him this really cool opportunity, not so much for like a revisionist history, but to reflect and fine-tune and change the songs. And when he was asked about how it felt returning to this material again, he said that it felt at times like doing a cover record. The old one is by a different artist that I don't necessarily like as much as the one I've turned into.
Oh.
So that's an interesting concept, especially for someone so young, and the album was really only 7 years old when he decided to go back to it. But he's now fleshed out a full band with a bassist, a guitarist, and drummer. And they've all moved to the West Coast, so he's now out in Seattle. And his music has generally been described as smart pop for loners and weirdos.
Great.
And he's definitely...
Perfect for the guest list.
Yeah, perfect.
That's our listeners right there.
That's it, man.
That's us.
That's
what
us.
Do you mean?
Yeah, that's actually us. I was going to say.
And I think he's been propelled forward by NPR Music. They're huge fans of his, and he's done several performances.
Well, he's just one
NPR
of those,
stations.
Like, the biggest sort of indie rock success stories of the last few years. It seems to be on every festival lineup and touring all the time, and attention from NPR and all these big outlets. But it's cool because he started out just releasing the stuff on his own.
Yeah, and he is by his very nature a tinkerer, and so it's fairly common when you listen to his records to hear bits and pieces of songs sort of rearranged, or they show up like the chorus in one song will show up as a verse in a later song. And it's like he's kind of taking snapshots of the music and rearranging the pieces like a melodic Rubik's Cube. Like he's just like, what happens if I put this together this way? And the songs tend to be really long. But I imagine when he's playing live, there's a lot of, reconstituting pieces. And the people he plays with, I suspect, are talented enough musicians that every show probably just wanders and a bunch of different directions, and they just sort of see what happens at the end.
Yeah, I think he's definitely at this point transitioned from the sort of bedroom recording project to fully fledged live act. And so I think it's always neat to see how full people reinterpret their material with a full band as opposed to, their solo recordings where they may have played all the instruments themselves and sort of put it together all themselves.
Yeah.
Incorporating other people's vision for the music.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. A big difference from filling the backseat of your mom and dad's car to filling the Georgia Theater.
Yeah. And he's been compared to Robert Pollard of Guided by Voices and Stephen Malkmus, and he definitely has that spirit in his vocal, and I would say in like even the lyrics and sort of the tone of his music.
Classic sort of indie rock influences for sure. I was going to say, do you think that he always has to have a car seat headrest in front of him? 5 feet in front, 3 feet in front of him every show.
I think there's only one way to find out.
That would be great.
Just a mic stand with a car seat.
It's like the Stonehenge from, what is that?
Spinal Tap. Yeah.
It's just this car seat headrest. Just
I need the car seat.
That was a great story. And also actually an audio trick that lots of people do is if you're out and about and you can't find a place with good acoustics,
Up in the car.
Inside the car is one of the best places you can go.
It's like it's so self-contained. It's like a little booth.
Yeah. Especially like, you know, with the newer cars, when you slam that door and you listen and hear that boom.
Right.
That's the sound of insulated, you know.
Yeah.
You're in there.
I mean, I sort of picture him in an old Volvo 240 station wagon, but who knows what his family car was. I mean,
this is inspiring me. I think we should do the next guest list.
In your car?
In a Volkswagen.
In a clown car?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that.
All right. Well, Gabe just gave his Volkswagen up. Is
Volvo.
That what you... Volvo? Dang it.
Yeah.
I try to remember things.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Oh, we got the first letter
it
right.
It gets worse, by the way.
I'm so old. Where's my Metamucil and my cane?
That's what you think, old people.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah,
here we
walking
go.
Around with a cane. Well, Metamucil.
Also, she's the youngest person in this room right now. So, what does that say about the rest of us?
Oh my goodness!
That we all need Botox. I'm just kidding.
It says to me we need to listen to this song, yep. which is entitled "Sober to Death." Appropriately, it's Car Seat Headrest on the guest list. All right, so that was Sober to Death from the album Twin Fantasy. That was Car Seat Headrest, scheduled to perform the Georgia Theater on Wednesday, February 20th. So, that, yeah, I like that. That was a good sound. That should be interesting. I'm with Gabe, though. I'm interested to hear what this sounds like in full throat at a place like the Georgia Theater.
With a car seat headrest.
Yeah.
Prop.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the guy's got the following, but after recording in your back seat, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to Murder by Death, shall we? I know Amber would like to move on to some Murder by Death.
She's got that look in her eyes.
Yeah, she always does.
A murderous look.
Always towards me. I don't know what the deal is.
Because you sit the closest.
I think that's what it is.
Or I hate you. I'm just kidding.
I've changed my aftershave several times, but it doesn't seem to make any difference. Maybe that's what it is.
I hate aftershave.
See, there we go.
Love it.
So Murder by Death will play the Georgia Theater on Thursday, February 21st. Somebody get me out of here. Tell me about this show.
Okay. So Murder by Death is a quintet. I love to use that word, quintet.
Yes. Yes.
It's my favorite. From Bloomington, Indiana. Have no idea where that is, but it sounds like a great place.
It's
right?
A lovely town.
So despite the ominous name, they are very much like a orchestral indie rock band. A lot of instruments come into play, but I have never heard of these guys. I saw they were playing with J. Roddy Walston and The Business, who I'm a huge fan of. I've seen him like five times. No shame there. J. Roddy is very much a rock band, hard rock. I don't know what we're defining hard rock these days, but J. Roddy's great. He's a piano and organ player. So I thought, like, Murder by Death, we're going to see like a rock band, but they sound like new age Johnny Cash.
Really?
So think
oh, wow.
think more of like old country. This is something I would
Americana
play.
Yeah, Americana too.
Yeah, so this is something I would play on Classic Country Saturday night.
Wow.
Bless them. So they're great. They met in college and have been doing this thing for a while, since early 2000s. So they've got a long 10-year career going on, and they're influenced by like Gaslight Anthem, Loose Row, and William Elliott Whitmore, who I'm a huge fan of as well. But yeah, I'm really excited to see them, especially with J. Roddy. It's a co-bill. So I don't, you know, co-bills are so weird to me. How does that work? Who plays first? You know, like why, well, how do they determine who plays first? If it's a co-bill
interesting
game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rock, a lot of times paper, scissors.
Bands will sort of alternate night to night.
Mm-hmm.
Do
yeah.
one as a headliner, but you know, there should be a great crowd there for both groups. So,
yeah.
And I hear that the new, Murder by Death album it's a concept album. It's a space Western.
Space Western, I like that.
I love those the combination
like Star
of those
Wars.
Two things. Yeah.
Isn't Star Wars
yeah.
described as a space Western?
Or Aliens so. Versus Cowboys. What's that movie?
well, I knew
sure.
this. Isn't that?
Cowboys versus Aliens. I think.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
A guy I went to college with,
tomato,
like,
tomato.
For his senior thesis, reinterpreted The Tempest, but set it in outer space and made it a glam rock opera. And it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
And you didn't marry him? What's... okay. I hit on something there.
Oh,
sorry.
Boy. Oh, boy.
Shoop, cut that out.
If you could only see Molly's face, that was blurted out there.
It wasn't really. I
tend to do that.
Take a moment.
People you know in college are like not necessarily people. Like, I don't know.
Did you get married in college, Amber?
Obviously not.
Amber's still in college. What are you talking about?
Oh, thanks, Shoop.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Oh.
Do we want our listeners to think it?
Yes.
If so.
You're now, you're
Alpha Delta K-Pi.
Right.
Yeah.
K-Pop.
Yeah. Sorry, K-Pop.
So you told us a little bit about J. Roddy, but I'm more interested in The Business. What about The Business?
The Business?
Yeah.
They mean business.
They mean business?
Yes,
okay.
It's you have to go see him. It's a wild show. I mean, hard rock, like I said, at his finest. But he's on the piano and he's got like this long hair.
Oh, cool.
And he just like,
some boogie woogie.
He just slings it around.
Some heavy boogie woogie.
Yeah, some heavy boogie woogie. yeah, it's very raw.
You said that
it's
with such disgust.
It's a very raw sound. I just didn't know. Heavy boogie woogie. I didn't know that was going to come out of your mouth.
You never know what's going to happen on the guest list.
You never know.
Gosh, okay.
Well, let's sample a little Murder by Death. Not literally, but well, sort of.
Here's
I mean, whatever.
Here's Alas from the album The Other Shore. It's Murder by Death on the guest list.
Baby, you're right. I'm no good. Got a heart made of glass and a head made of wood. Let me make it clear, when I'm gone, I'm gone. The night's just the night, and there's no coming dawn. When shall I return? I confess, I don't know. What's around the bend? What's left to unfold? I could promise you the moon brought down with the lasso. I need to stay, but alas, I must go. Back in the stark woods, behind your old house, I buried some things that'll leave you no doubt. Something to prove myself to you. Half is a lie, but the good part's true. When shall I return? I confess I don't know. What's around the bend? What's left to unfold? I can promise you the moon brought down with the lasso. I need to stay, but alas, I must go. Maybe you should move on and I'll go it alone. Out in the barren field where we first met, full of decay from a life in the red. Oaths that I broke, the money I spent, couldn't make it work, couldn't even make rent. The people I forgot that I knew that I meant. Maybe my life will repay the debt. I need to stay. I need to stay. I need to stay, but alas, I must go. Thought you wanted me to stay, but you need me to go. I just wanna say, now I finally know.
All right, so that was Alas from Murder by Death. He'll be playing a co-bill with J. Roddy Walston and The Business at the Georgia Theater on Thursday, February 21st. And, yeah, I really like that sound. You know, Amber never steers me wrong. That was a, I mean,
thanks,
I, that's another, I'm not sure if it's a good compliment to you, though, to know that old Shoop might just venture out to everything that you recommend.
It really happens.
Your stuff is the only thing I generally make sure I see.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
How about that? How about
thanks,
that?
Why are we even here, Gabe? Let's just go.
You're,
bye, guys. I run the show now.
You're for the more high-minded part of our audience. See?
Wow. Oh, nice try.
Are you calling us pretentious?
Would we say it's pretentious or timeless?
I'm just calling Amber and I knuckle draggers. That's what I'm doing.
He's saying, you guys are smart.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Is that the dynamic? I didn't know.
I wasn't thinking.
Not really. No, but I really did like that sound, and I did hear the Johnny Cash. That was really good.
Yes.
I like that.
But definitely orchestral. They have, you know, a ton of instruments, mandolin and cello. You'll hear some of that as well. And it's a really big show. I'm excited to see it.
So cool. All right. Well, next we've got Kenosha Kid, who'll be playing Saturday, February 23rd. And then there's a bit of a mystery surrounding this show. A mystery as to where exactly you will find Kenosha Kid.
Yeah. So
kind of like
think.
Carmen Sandiego, maybe.
Carmen Sandiego.
Where is Kenosha Kid?
Where in Athens is Kenosha Kid?
Yeah.
So we think the show's going to be at Sini Stovall Chapel. I hope it will, because that's a very cool venue.
Oh, wouldn't that be cool?
See,
yeah.
These guys or any group, but has not been 100% confirmed at the time of this recording. So check Flagpole Magazine for the most up-to-date event listings for your goings-on about town.
And we should mention that Flagpole is a contributor and underwriter for WUGA.
All right. Hashtag sponsored content. So,
hashtag ad.
So to get into Kenosha Kid a little bit, a long-running Athens group fronted by a guitarist and composer named Dan Nettles. I would classify them primarily as a jazz band, although they incorporate just tons of other sounds and influences. But Dan definitely comes from the jazz world and is a you know, classically trained guitarist and knows that kind of music inside and out. And so that's sort of the primary focus. They, like I said, get into some other sounds. The new album in particular, which is called Missing Pieces, there's a lot of really cool kind of spacey rock elements to it. Some jammy stuff on there. A little bit of kind of glitchy electronica even. So they get into a lot of cool sounds, these guys do. So Dan Nettles, like I mentioned, is the main fella who sort of has been the core of Kenosha Kid from the start. And he's got a good group of guys who are playing with him now. Rick Lawler on guitar, Robbie Hanley on bass, and Marlon Patton on drums, each of whom is involved in myriad other local projects here and in Atlanta. So a lot of talented musicians involved in Kenosha Kid. The new record, like I said, is called Missing Pieces. And Dan is great about sort of really diving deep into the composition and sort of the inspiration behind his music. If you go to their website or their Bandcamp page, he has just like notes, paragraphs of notes about each song that you can read. So it's helpful to sort of, if you want to read sort of a compendium to the music and sort of understand better where he's coming from and what you're hearing. He even gets into time signatures and tempos and all that stuff. So if you're so inclined, which maybe you're not, and in that case you can just immerse yourself in the music and enjoy, because it's intellectual in its composition, but it's definitely accessible too, and there's a groove to it, and you can really just relax and put it on and enjoy it without thinking too much about it.
And we are just about out of time, so we'll let Kenosha Kid play us out for this episode of The Guest List. We have verified that according to their Facebook page, they will be playing at Sini Stovall Chapel on Saturday, February 23rd. So that should be a great show indeed. For my good friends Gabe Vodica, Amber Henderson, and Molly Williams, I'm Chris Shoup. You've been listening to The Guest List here on WUGA Athens, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. For more information about the bands we discussed here tonight, or perhaps information on how you or your band might be featured on The Guest List, just drop me an email at king44@uga.edu. Until next time, here's How Would It All Fit from Kenosha Kid. Have a great night, everybody.